Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is Thursday, March 17th, 2022. I believe it's St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, are you wearing orange? I don't think we have any Roman Catholics that are regularly attending. Roman Catholics wear green, Protestants wear orange. You know, that's the Irish flag, right? You have green, orange, and white. The green represents Catholics, the orange represents Protestants, and the white represents the peace that will one day exist between the two. St. Patrick is an interesting character, of course. Don't probably buy the thing about him driving the snakes out of Ireland, but nevertheless, anyway, lots of other things, but that's not what today is about. It is good to be with you this morning, and I hope that your week is going very well. Where we're picking up this morning is in James chapter 5. Yesterday, we received some more final instructions from James. And it's fascinating there, the example that he uses for peace and patience and perseverance is actually the prophets. All sorts of peas here, right? It's the prophets that he points to. Uh-oh, it looks like I'm having some computer issues right now. Oh, well, I'm going to keep pressing on blissfully unaware if there's a problem and if this doesn't work, and then we'll just see what happens here. So anyway, but where we left off yesterday was with this instruction on exercising patience, waiting for the Lord's return. And the two examples that are used are prophets and Job from God's word. Now, realize what James is doing here. Let me click on this and make sure that this is not something I can fix. Just bear with me for just a moment here. I don't know. Sorry. Perhaps this is something I can, let me see here. I'm really sorry about this. Like I said, we have a new internet and we are getting used to this. And if there's a way to fix it, I can't see how to fix it. So if this is not coming through, my apologies. And we'll make it one way or the other. Nevertheless, where we're picking up today, realizing James chapter 5, what James is doing here is he's offering these final instructions. That's where I just left off. And it seems like he's hopping around a little bit. And well, to a certain extent, that may be true. Remember, though, we bring some baggage to the text because we look at chapters and verses, and we tend to organize things based on that, but realize that originally this was a letter written and there were no chapters and verses. So James really does kind of switch gears here in verse 12. He's talking about patience. He's talking about suffering. He's talking about persevering until the Lord returns. However, where we come to today is a complete shift. And he talks about something that ought to sound a little bit familiar to us. What is it? Well, let's pray first and then we'll dig in. Our God and our Father, what a blessing it is to have this time together. I don't know what's going on with the internet or with the computer. And hey, maybe it's just fine and I'm getting messages for no reason. But please help me to focus on the task at hand instead of being distracted by technology. And I pray that as we focus on the task at hand, that you would be glorified in it, that we would learn about you, yes, but also that we would be encouraged to follow and to trust in you alone, to let our yes be yes and our no be no, and to pay attention to how we function in this life as we wait on your son's return or your calling us home, whichever one it happens to be. So please, work in our hearts now, Father, and guide us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so where we're picking up today is in James 5, verse 12. And we're kind of bringing things full circle here in one aspect. Before I read it, do you remember when we started the book of James? I gave kind of a background on the book and different opinions on really what the book of James actually is. You know, James is different, y'all. You've got this different sort of salutation, this different audience that James is writing to. And there's all sorts of theories from biblical scholars on what the book of James really is. One of those theories is that the book of James is actually a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Now, You might say, well, where do they get that from? Well, hold on a minute, because in part that is revealed also today. So we continue in James chapter 5, verse 12, and it says, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Interesting. We're going to stop reading right there, because he's about to switch gears again as he talks about prayer, and that's where we will pick up tomorrow. But nevertheless, does this seem interesting to you? You know, as you prioritize things, as I prioritize things, realizing that James is writing here, and by his understanding, this is perhaps all that he'll ever write. Certainly there is no James 2, right, or the second epistle of James. We just have James, and he's ending his work here. And he uses this phrase, this terminology, and this is a good translation, above all. Really? Above everything else, this is his instruction. You know, I find that interesting, because he's talked about a lot of things, hasn't he? James has talked about preparing for heaven. He's talked about what you do with your time, what you do with your resources, what you do with your money. He's talked about submitting to God. He's given warnings. He is about to talk about prayer. He's talked about what you do with your tongue. He's talked about wisdom. He's talked about favoritism. He's talked about perseverance. He has talked about so many critical subjects. And yet, his above all moment, that moment that he says above anything else, it has to do with swearing. Why? Now, let's be clear about the swearing that he's talking about. No, he's not talking about cussing people out. What he's talking about is oaths, right? Making an oath, swearing things, okay? He says, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Let's talk about first what this doesn't mean, right? There are some that take this to the nth degree, right? And they take it as regulative for every area of life. Take, for instance, Mennonites. Some Mennonites, there are different branches of Mennonites, but there are some Mennonites who refuse to swear by anything. Don't wear wedding rings, won't swear in a court of law, anything like that. In fact, serving in the military is an impossibility because they will not take an oath of office, right? And the reason they don't do that is because of this. Is this what God's word is saying? Is that really what this is all about? Well, the answer to that is not necessarily, right? The idea here that James is exposing points back to what Jesus revealed in Matthew chapter 5. Now, again, just a few moments ago, I said, remember that James is called a commentary on Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Well, if you take your word and you turn to Matthew 5, verse 33, you find Jesus teaching on this. And Jesus sheds a little more light on this for us, okay? And we find out that this doesn't necessarily have to do with if you are in a court of law, or if you have to sign a contract, for instance, pledging to do certain things as a matter of legality. But this is really all about how you live your life on a daily basis, how you interact with one another. Matthew 5, verse 33 says again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all. Either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Everything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, what do we do with these? Well, in essence, what we have to do is we have to read between the lines of the context in which this was written and the audience that this was written to. What it comes down to is the frame of mind of the people that Jesus was interacting with, who James was interacting with. And to a certain extent, this has to do with Eastern culture, Right. And this is something that's difficult for us to understand in the West, right? In the West, where a handshake is a handshake, and that used to be good enough for a contract, right? That's based on your yes being yes and your no being no. But nevertheless, outside of that, when you tell somebody you're going to do something, you generally do it. Y'all, in the East, right? And we're talking about the ancient Near East here. There's a certain shrewdness that is not only respected, it's also encouraged. Y'all, lawyers had to get involved in a whole lot of things. And it was this idea of being a shrewd businessman, a shrewd one in dealing with others, where you didn't flat out lie, but you tried to explore every loophole, every angle in order to take advantage of your neighbor. And that was seen as not only something that was allowable, it was seen as something respected even. It still is the same way there today. Fast forward 2,000 years later, and in that part of the world, you know, you talk to missionaries, and one of the things they talk about is, hey, try finding an honest plumber in Turkey, you know? And this is not a slight on the Turkish people. This is just this whole East is East and West is West, and never the twain shall meet. What Jesus is talking about here, and what James is pointing to, is this simple idea of being people characterized by truth, of saying what, of doing what you say and not going back on it. And there is a warning here. And Jesus conveys the same message about swearing by heaven or swearing by earth or swearing by your head. And the underlying message of all of these is that we put far too much importance on ourselves. And we don't put near enough importance on our heavenly reward or our inheritance in the kingdom of God. Y'all, if you are tempted to trivialize heaven by swearing on the Bible, right? You know, that's our modern day concept. Would you put your hand on a Bible and swear to that? Oh, I'll put my hand on a stack of Bibles and swear by it. No, y'all, that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to live such a life that we're not in situations where we have to swear by anything because of our interaction with others, because of the reputation we build as being people characterized by truth. You know, the whole idea of swearing by something is the same idea that we see in the covenants that God made in the Old Testament. When you swear by something, you are saying that if what I'm doing is untrue, then these things that I'm swearing by can be destroyed. That's another major reason to not swear by heaven or swear by the Bible. When you see that weird interaction between Abraham, he was Abram then, and God in Genesis chapter 12, I believe it is, when God makes his covenant with Abraham and he has all the animals cut in half and the smoking fire pot passes between the animal halves, right? That is God saying to Abram that I'm going to fulfill my promise, or may it be done to me what has been done to these animals. When we swear by heaven, we're saying I'm going to keep my promise, or heaven can be dissolved. What right do we have for that? No, we have none. What right do we even have to swear by ourselves, or even the superstitious thing of your mother's grave, or fill in the blank, y'all? It becomes so silly how people try to bolster their honesty, when the best way to bolster your honesty and to build your reputation is in what you do on a daily basis. Y'all, there's really nothing else to say on this other than pointing out the warning that if you are not honest, right, if you live a life characterized by shrewdness, taking advantage of others, not in fact loving your neighbor, condemnation is the only thing that awaits. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Don't come with 500 caveats. Don't let your yes have an asterisk beside it. Be honest. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this final instruction from James here. And we know that he's got a little bit more to say, but sometimes we take this far too lightly. We don't see lying and deception for what it is, how it destroys our testimony. So please, work in our hearts. Again, work in our hearts that we would see our lives and ourselves as you see us, that we would see how we interact with one another as an opportunity to testify to your greatness. Help us to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Again, I'm kind of cutting it short today because I keep getting these messages from Facebook Live about frames per second and all that kind of business. And I don't know what's going on with that, but I'll try to fix it before tomorrow and we'll see what happens here. But nevertheless, if you've hung in there, my face has been freezing and all sorts of contortions. I'm sorry about that. And Lord willing, we'll be rolling great by tomorrow. Until then, have a blessed day.